always be clear where you get your conservative talk.
The St. Louis Business Journal is now reporting that liberal billionaire George Soros is the largest shareholder of Odyssey,
the parent company of KMOX and 97.1 Talk.
Soros' maneuver raises critical questions about the future of media ownership and influence.
Money and attention is power. And when he has the money and he controls what's on the radio stations, he's going to be able to control the minds, essentially hundreds of millions of Americans.
St. Louis's trusted source and number one.
For conservative talk.
This is News Talk STL.
Welcome back to Columbo and Katie on 101.9 94.1 News Talk STL. I just had a little bit of a pause there because I looked up at the screen and I saw Biden and I thought, is he doing something today?
But
it was an old something, an old piece of footage for him talking about the border. But I thought, oh my gosh, is he back out here today talking about the border?
Oh, another cheap fake? Is that what you're talking
about? Yeah, maybe it was a cheap fake was on the air now. You know what? We're going to talk about cheap fakes. We're going to talk about the White House. We're going to talk about the debate. And we're going to do it all with our guest returning to the show, back with us from the America First Policy Institute, former Deputy Press Secretary for the Trump administration, Hogan Gidley, is with us on the line. Hogan, as always, really appreciate your time this afternoon. Thanks for being back with us, especially on such a crazy week. Already debate headlines going to be a big story, but now this communications position at the White House making headlines as we start off this this crazy week. How are you?
I'm doing really well. Thanks so much for having me. I appreciate the time.
Yeah, you bet. And what perfect timing that we are talking to you today as this story broke. You know, when I went into the weekend, I knew, you know, I could have had a pretty good guess at all the stories that we would talk about this week on the show. But before the weekend, I didn't know the name Tyler Cherry, but I do now.
Hello?
And, oh, can you hear us, Hogan? You got us?
Uh-oh.
Did we lose Hogan?
Hold on.
Try to reconnect with him.
Hey.
Oh, can you hear?
Hey, Hogan, can you hear us now?
What happened?
I don't know. That was crazy. We could hear you, but you couldn't hear us, but I guess we got it back, right? You can hear me now?
I got you now.
All right, beautiful. I was just saying that it is perfect timing to have you on because of all the things I knew we would be talking about on the show this week, I didn't even know the name Tyler Cherry, and I do now. And it's great to have you on because you have worked in the communications department for a president, so you know what this position is all about. We've talked about Tyler throughout the show. If anybody missed it, he's the new associate communications director, who has a long history of very problematic social media posts about Israel, about the police, and many more things. He's deleted thousands of posts from his Twitter account as he gets announced that he's got this new position at the White House. What does this tell you, somebody who's been there, about, I mean, if this is the person, one of the people that's going to control the information flow to and from the president of the United States with the American voters, how concerning is that to you?
Well, it's very concerning, as you said, not just to me, to us, but to the American people writ large. I mean, you're in that building and you are responsible for delivering a message on behalf of a White House, on behalf of the president of the United States. And this type of attitude, this type of belief system has so poisoned that administration in various roles, not just Tyler's. And, you know, a simple Google search probably would have saved you some heartache and some headache on this one. But even still, you know, it's so interesting to see kind of how the Biden administration has worked to systematically erode so many foundational principles in our society, with our rule of law, with our justice system. And they do it time and time again. And I think they're misreading a lot of the polls where they say things like, you know, the threats to democracy are a number one issue. That's true. But the media is reading that as if it's Trump who's the threat to democracy. But an NPR poll showed, 56-42, independents believe the real threat to democracy is Joe Biden.
Mm-hmm.
And it's stuff like this. But, I mean, when your administration tries to mandate 80 million people get a vaccine, tries to mandate you wear a mask, tries to say that the Supreme Court says I can't, you know, force people who didn't go to college to pay for those who did, but I'm going to do it anyway. you know, going after your political opponents, trying to jail them. That's the threat to democracy. And this person that they've hired, again, not saying they're necessarily a threat to democracy here, but it does fall right in line with the attitude and the ideology of the radical left that Joe Biden has clearly tried to push on this country.
I'm going to steal one of Katie's questions from earlier, because you'll know the answer that I didn't know. Does the president, this position, associate communications director, how high up on the food chain is that? Is this somebody that the president will have, you know, specific conversations with or be in meetings with directly, or is it lower than that? And does the president even know who Tyler Cherry is? Does he have to sign off on this, or is this all these decisions sort of made below him? Just trying to get an idea of where this position lies in sort of the power structure there in the communications department at the White House.
Well, it depends on, you know, which White House we're talking about here. Meaning, if they follow certain structures, maybe not. Trump, you know, got ideas from all kinds of folks, whether they had the titles to be in meetings or not, oftentimes. So I'm not sure. It sure, though, seems like if you're an associate communications director, you're going to have some interaction with the president. It depends on how much they open up those kind of doors and allow people with different rankings. I don't know if this person is a deputy assistant to the president. I think is what it's saying. I'm trying to find out what exactly the...
Yeah, what I have is Associate Communications Director is what the story that I have is the title. But
if that falls under a deputy, it was APS, DAPS, and SAPS.
Okay.
SAP is a special assistant to the president, which is the lowest political appointee. Deputy assistant to the president is middle, and assistant to the president, and APS, is the highest. So if he's in that middle range, a DAP or an APS, chances are he's got a lot of access to the president.
Yeah, that's going to be...
That's very interesting.
Yeah, wow. That's exactly why I was... When I saw that we were talking to you, I was like, wow, what perfect timing to have Hogan on. Not only that, obviously, leading into this debate on Thursday, the former president, Trump, has agreed to all the stipulations, which that's a unique situation. We haven't seen that before, but Trump agreed to all of Biden's stipulations to be there. And I think it's just going to be this is can't miss television. This is can't miss reality TV, and probably the biggest impact, in my opinion. And I don't usually think debates have that big of an impact. I think they're important, and I think that they are, you know, good to watch. But I think a lot of people have made up their minds by and large most of the time when we're talking about presidential elections. But this one, I think, has more impact than any, because if Joe Biden goes up there and he looks like he's a clueless person with the lights out, I don't know how that can be defended any longer by the Democrats or the White House. What are you looking for mostly in this debate on Thursday?
Well, I think the policies matter, and I'm embarrassed to say how much I didn't even realize that when I went into the White House, how much you can actually effectuate change in someone's life because of what you're doing in Washington, D.C. So much of the stuff up here is just bluster and BS, quite frankly. But, it's such a unique situation where you have a former president of the United States and a sitting president. They can literally take their two records in the same office and put them side by side and say, here's what I did, here's what I did. What are the American people like? And we know the America First policies are really supported by 70%, 80% of people, depending on the given issue. So Donald Trump's policies were proven to make people's lives better, regardless of race, religion, color, or creed. And when you could pay for gas and for groceries, and you didn't have a wide open southern border with, you know, illegal aliens coming in, killing our citizens, passing off drugs, human trafficking, child trafficking at record numbers, spikes in crime everywhere, and then wars breaking out all over the world. The two records could not be, more starkly different. And so if Donald Trump can stick to that and point that out and call Joe Biden out and let people know he lied the entire last debate about how he never received a dime from China, family didn't do that, how the Hunter Biden laptop is Russian disinformation. All those things weren't true. And so if Donald Trump sets the tone that way, I think, and really calls attention to it, I don't think he even needs to point out Joe Biden's physical or mental failing. if it's not on display, it's only because they're going to, you know, inject him full of some type of, you know, debate Viagra and keep him going. And see what happens.
I think you're exactly right.
Hogan, how much, we haven't spoken with you since both of the convictions came down for Donald Trump and for Hunter Biden. I would like to get your opinion on both of those situations, as well as get your expertise on how that will play out on the debate stage. Will it be used as a weapon?
I don't see how they stay away from it. I think Biden is most assuredly going to try and use this against Donald Trump. And Donald Trump can say something about Hunter if he wants to. I don't know if that's the best way to go, because Joe's going to clutch his pearls and, you know, slip into his father mode that I think is often contrived and not real for so many reasons. But look,
just ask his one granddaughter, right?
To do that. Well, yes, exactly right. But also, I hope Donald Trump brings that up if Joe Biden tries to play that card. But you know, it's again, there are a lot of pitfalls for both men here, and debates are about creating moments and taking that moment, of course, using it to build kind of a string of momentum and ultimately a movement and win elections. And Joe Biden's got nothing. He has no discernible success from the White House. They're all failures. He'll point to different things, the CHIP Act and all this kind of stuff, the infrastructure. They've built what? Like two charging stations for electric vehicles and spent, what, $70 billion? That's so crazy. Like, they've got nothing. So all he's going to do is say J6, abortion, threats to democracy. That's all he's going to say, because, you know, he's Donald Trump has a Zippo lighter and Joe Biden's just rubbing two sticks together. He's got nothing.
It's going to be really
interesting to watch him go back and forth.
You know, and you're spot on, and you also make a great point about how the uniqueness of this debate of having two presidents that have been president, that have a record that they can compare to, apples to apples, which it boggles me. It makes me crazy that we have heard from the media leading up to this all of these things that President Trump would or is going to do if he becomes president. He's going to put minorities in concentration camps, and he's going to, you know, he's going to be a dictator, you know, that line. He's going to do this, he's going to do that. We know what the United States looks like when Donald Trump is president. It's already happened. He didn't do that when he was president last time. So it blows my mind that is the strategy to try to convince people all the things that this man will do if he becomes president, when we already know what he does when he becomes president. How does that, you mentioned momentum a minute ago. I feel like the momentum is so solidly on Donald Trump's side that it may be the most momentum going into election in recent years, at least because of just how bad the Biden administration is and all of these ridiculous false attacks against the former president. What do you think?
Yeah, look, you're right. It's so many problems here, but the fact is, it's the Democrats who always accuse the Republicans of doing things that they themselves are actually guilty of doing. Right. So Donald Trump, you colluded with Russia. Well, actually, it was the Hillary Clinton campaign. He used Russian people, Russian information, British spies to get this stuff that wasn't even real in the first place. Right. You're going to be a dictator. It's Joe Biden who's trying to usurp the power and the rulings from the Supreme Court, as I mentioned, to force vaccine mandates and masks and all the like. That's what Joe Biden does, trying to jail his political opponents. And they're saying, oh, my gosh, Donald Trump's going to be a dictator. He's going to put us all in jail in camps with Rachel Maddow. Listen, he was already president. And when they were chanting lock her up, he didn't even move to put Hillary in prison, although she'd violated multiple laws, as we all know. It's Joe Biden who has done this. Joe Biden who has weaponized the government, these three-letter agencies, to go after people if you just simply disagree with him politically. That is a real dangerous place for us to be in. Donald Trump needs to make sure he points that out. And if he does, I think it really is going to be eye-opening to a lot of folks, because so much of the cake is baked with these two men at this point. So what are you going to do to kind of show people a different side? What are you going to do to remind people of the successes we experienced, not all the way back to Reagan in the 80s, But like just a few years ago, you could afford gas and groceries. Making those points will help him out immensely.
One last question for Hogan Gidley. He is with the America First Policy Institute and specifically the vice chair at the Center for Election Integrity with America First Policy Institute. I hope we get a chance to talk to you about this many times between now and Election Day, Hogan. But right now, how do you specifically feel about that area of election integrity? It was obviously such a big part of the 2020 presidential election. What changes have been or need to be made, and how are you feeling about that situation as we get closer and closer to the 24 election?
Well, it's a whole lot better now than it was in 2020, okay? People are more aware of what's going on. You saw a lot of, you know, machine breakdowns and things in 2022 in the midterms, in large part because you had people in the room. You had people watching, knowing now, having been trained on what to look for, how to report things better, filming things, et cetera. Because look, if you're not at the table, you're on the menu. And now a lot of folks want to be involved to be at that table and learn exactly what to do and how to report something should they see something in real time. Because so much of this has to do with preventative measures on the front end. Because once that ballot goes to the machine, it's over, folks. I'm sorry. You can't go back and try to marry it back up to a envelope, et cetera. But also the lawfare, working on a lot of different things in a lot of different states to protect legal votes and legal voters is something we're doing in a big way over at the Center for Election Integrity with lawsuits in Georgia and Arizona, Wisconsin, et cetera, really trying to figure out what the left is attempting to accomplish. And it's always that side of the aisle that, for whatever reason, doesn't want anybody standing around looking at a drop box just sitting by itself on a street corner. They don't want any monitoring at all. They don't want you to prove you are who you say you are when you cast a ballot. It's so crazy. And when they put those measures in place, like in the state of Georgia, remember how vilified they were by Joe Biden? It was Jim Crow 2.0, Jim Eagle, he called it.
Yes.
Massive spikes in turnout from the black community and from the white community. And basically 75% of those two groups said, oh, it was easy. It was easy to vote. Of course. Of course. And it turns out when you have measures in place that, you know, precipitate free, fair, and honest elections, you want to participate in those elections.
Right. Jim Eagle. I forgot about Jim Eagle. Whatever.
Jim Eagle.
So dumb.
Hogan Gidley, thank you as always. Tremendous insight and information. I hope that we can get you back on again multiple times between now and Election Day to continue this conversation. In the meantime, if people want to keep up with you and everything that you guys are working on there at the Center for Election Integrity and America First Policy Institute, how can they do so? Website, social media, all that good stuff.
All my social media pages are the same, @JHoganGidley.
Love it.
And AmericaFirstPolicy.com. Great. AmericaFirstPolicy.com. And we have, you know, Centers for Election Integrity, for China Policy, for Southern Border, for helping out children, school choice, et cetera. So we cover a wide range of things because we had so much manpower from the previous administration. What were we going to do with it all? And we all kind of formed a think tank together to really help push the policies that had been proven to help people out across this country. So that's what we're trying to focus on.
Well, it's provided a lot of great insight and information for many, many people. So certainly appreciate it and look forward to talking to you again sometime very, very soon. That is Hogan Gidley. Thank you so much for your time this afternoon, Hogan. Have a great day.
Anytime, guys. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Awesome stuff. Jim Eagle or Joe Eagle.
Jim Eagle.
Jim Eagle. That's what it
Never
was.
Never forget.
Yeah. Ugh, I did. And now I'm
back at it.
I'm back to rolling my eyes. All right. Trump versus Biden debate. Yeah. But that's.
Yeah.
That's the undercard. That's the opening act.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Taylor Swift versus Dave Grohl. That's what's taking over the country right now.
That's a biggie.
How about this?
That's a biggie.
We have our two big events coming up this week. We're going to talk about that, and I want to fill you in on Dave Grohl. Have you seen this?
I've seen it, and it breaks my heart.
And anytime somebody says something about Taylor Swift, that is going to raise some... issues with a lot of people.
Headline, Vulture goes after Taylor Swift.
Now Dave Grohl is no vulture. I love Dave Grohl. He's amazing, but it is headline.
Man, what a week. Biden versus Trump and Dave Grohl versus Taylor Swift. We'll talk about it more next on Columbo and Katie.
You're listening to Columbo and Katie.